Good morning. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. I'm Janine. This is Get the Funk Out. If you're not familiar with my show, you can head over to the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. First up on today's show is Gavin McMahon, author of Story Business, Why Stories Rule the World and How They Can Reinvent Your Business. I'm going to tell you a little bit about him and then I'll bring him on. Gavin McMahon builds things once. It was submarines, sports cars, and steel plants, big complex systems built on logic and precise plans. But plans have a funny way of falling apart when people get involved. As Gavin tried to figure out why, one truth became clear. People don't move without a story. Business is more than just strategy and execution. It is persuasion and inspiration, too. So he switched gears, traded engineering for business, and earned an MBA in innovation strategy and information technology. He is joining us now. Good morning, Gavin.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Thanks for having me.
So I'm so glad you're here. I want to start off with asking what drew you to the idea that storytelling isn't just important, but actually runs the world.
Well, I think I've always been fascinated by how people make decisions and why people make decisions. And, you know, I grew up, my father was an engineer. I studied engineering at university. And so I grew up in this world that was very black and white. And, you know, I think over time, as I drifted from engineering to what I do now, which is working with big companies that are leading through change, mm-hmm. there was a point where I realized it's all about people and why are people making these decisions. And more I became convinced that the thing that influences people the most are the stories they tell themselves. And if you can figure out the stories they tell themselves, then the only way to influence those is to tell other stories. And so, yeah, that was the kind of path into storytelling.
Do you think many of us are aware of how much stories actually influence our decisions?
No. I mean, that's the short answer.
Yes.
I think, I'll give you a slightly longer answer.
Sure.
There was a neuroscientist called Friederike Fabricius. I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly.
Okay.
And she wrote in a book about the structures in our brain that kind of interpret stories. And she talks about the default mode network, which is our brain just on idle, just like an engine sitting at a traffic light. You know, the car is ticking over, but we're not really going anywhere. We do that a lot. It's daydreaming. It's just wondering. When we do that, we're always the center of our attention. We're the center of our universe. And Fabricius calls this the narrative network. We're basically telling ourselves a story where we are the hero of our own story. So anytime mm-hmm. people are listening to this now, the back of their mind, they'll have this, what has this got to do with me? And that's that question. But that's also kind of our narrative imagining. It's how we think about the world. We're always putting ourselves at the center of it. It's not narcissistic necessarily. It's just a natural human condition. And that's why stories are so powerful, because they break through that.
So thank you for that, by the way. I wanted to dive in, without giving too much away in the book. There are a couple of things I wanted, perhaps you could elaborate on. What are the 6 rules of story business?
Yeah, so at the very beginning of the book, I have this conceit of a storyteller. And in my imagining, she's the first person that ever told a story. So someone discovered fire, someone went on a hunt and had a spear, and they discovered, you know, how to hunt animals. But someone had to tell other people about it, and that was a storyteller. And I got the storyteller to talk about what those rules were, and I described them as tenets of story. So the first is, a story has to have heroes and villains. Mm-hmm. The second is that the story, you know, helps you, a story is going to be simple. Another is that the story has drama, it has highs and lows. So you're kind of working through all these kind of ideas about storytelling to make sure that you actually have a story.
Mm-hmm.
And those are kind of some of the rules. Others are, you know, a story needs to frame the way you see the world. Another is that a story has kind of dramatic words and action. They're all the hallmarks of good storytelling, regardless of the form.
Yes, makes sense. And when your story is crafted in a certain way, it is so memorable, and you motivate people with whatever goal it is, perhaps you have, or for them to have their own take on it and go off in a direction. It makes me think of, so this show, Gavin, is called Get the Funk Out. And,
oh, yeah.
And so I started the show in 2011. 2010, I lost a close friend of mine suddenly, and I was in a major funk. And I came back after a year, and I thought, I really want to talk about how we get out of a funk and not just focus on my story, but I want to listen to other people's stories and how they create films or other things, etc. So that was my story, and it really has resonated with so many people. So I could imagine with what you're doing and what you're saying in this book, people are really going to, if not already, really see themselves in it.
Yeah, first of all, I love that title, Get the Funk Out.
Thank you.
It, thousands of years ago, the Greeks laid down the rules of oratory and they called it rhetoric, and then the Romans kind of improved it. And that's a piece of rhetoric. I forget the Latin name for it, but the idea that you take a very common expression, which is and then slightly misspell it,
mm-hmm.
makes something very memorable. And that's that idea. That's a piece of storytelling. In my book, In Story Business, if anyone picks it up and thinks, well, this is going to help me write a great American novel or a Hollywood screenplay, they'll be sorely disappointed, because it's really my definition of storytelling
mm-hmm.
is very elastic. It's very commercial. It's basically a piece of information wrapped in emotion. And I want that piece of information to get in people's heads. And the only way I can get it in people's heads is to wrap it in emotion. So that's where you come back to the heroes and villains, has a spine or a structure, is simple, evocative and provocative, vivid words and actions, frames how you see the world. You're doing all those things. Those are the tenets of storytelling. And you're doing it because you want to get it in somebody's head. And so, yeah, I think that's true. But another powerful force is the truth. What we believe mm-hmm. is really the story we tell ourselves. So if you go back to that narrative network where we're the hero of our own story, we're really telling ourselves stories all the time about whether we're good, whether we're bad, whether we're doing well, whether we're not doing well, whether we're in a funk, whether we're not in a funk.
Mm-hmm.
That's a story we're telling ourselves. And our brains are really powerful tools for putting us in the right space or not. And
yes.
a lot of that is how you tell yourself, how you tell your own story.
And how much do those stories shape who we become?
Completely.
Completely.
Completely are. There's a line in the book that I borrowed from a poet called Muriel Rukeyser. And the line in her poem goes something like, the universe is made up of stories, not atoms. And I talk about my own experience with this because obviously as an engineer, you know, I study chemistry and I know that's completely not true. The universe is made up of atoms. But the more you deal with people, the more you have experience of why things worked and why other things didn't work, the more you realize it's the stories we're telling ourselves and the stories people are telling each other. That explains the politics in the world today. It explains, you know, why you got a promotion or why you didn't get a promotion. It explains all sorts of things. It's about the stories that people tell.
Yes. So I did have a question for you, because when I was reviewing your information, your one sheet, I love this first mm-hmm. line. With AI taking over, what does it mean to be human? Could you elaborate on that?
Yeah, we've been working with a lot of, I think every business is the same. They're all saying AI, and they're not really, they know it means artificial intelligence, but mm-hmm. beyond that, I think people are not sure. So I think what people are increasingly certain of is there's going to be a massive change. And most of the story that people are telling themselves is this is going to be either very positive for us or very negative for us. I think if you think about AI and a lot of the things it cannot do, that leaves a big space for humans to do. So, for example, an AI can't take responsibility for anything. You can ask it a question, but if it's wrong, it's pointless to get mad and shout at it. So an AI might do part of your job, but the responsibility of did I get that right is on the person doing it. An example, yes, might be, you know, there have been cases already where people have used AI to help them write articles in that have gotten to, you know, major newspapers. Well, you may have used it as a tool, but it's the human that took the decision, and it's the human that left the marker of AI into that. So I think, you know, AI is going to compress this the distance between idea and execution massively. Mm-hmm. But humans are the people that decide what's better. Humans are the people that decide, I'm going to take accountability for this. Humans are the people that will set the standard. Humans are the ones that will deal with novelty. I mean, AI is just pattern matching and dealing with everything that's gone before. It can remix a lot, but it can't create net new. That's going to rely on humans.
Yes, absolutely. So I think a lot about connection and loneliness, mm-hmm, right now. There is a loneliness epidemic. And do, mm-hmm, you see storytelling as a way to bring people closer together?
Yeah, I think storytelling is the natural fabric that connects communities. It was, if you speak to an anthropologist, they'll tell you that stories are, and the lore in a tribe are what keeps the tribe together. They're also what kicks people out of the tribe. So I think technology has done us a disservice in a way, mm-hmm, because the digitization of everything and the ability to personalize has allowed us to create our own little bubbles that we happily live inside, and we curate, or maybe they're curated unwittingly for us. So we sit inside these, and we can get lonely if that's our inclination. But the community and speaking to other people, we share stories when we do that. And I think the more people can get in touch, we've become, and this is just an opinion, mm-hmm, I think we've become too much consumers of stories and not enough producers of stories.
Yes.
And so people need to produce their own stories. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, creating a YouTube channel and becoming a content creator necessarily. That just means talking to other people and sharing stories and swapping jokes. And it's the little things that build connection and build trust and build relationship, and that's all storytelling. It's all, we all learn to do it when we're 3 years old.
Yeah. And I feel that storytelling is such a wonderful way to bring people together. There's something called Lectures on Tap right now. I don't know if you've heard of it, where professors or anyone, they come in and I think it is just professors. They come in and they give a 45-minute lecture at a bar. And the place is packed.
Really?
It's sold out. I think one coming up was going to talk about the wild parrots that have taken over. There's a lot of wild parrots here. And so I feel like we crave those connections in real life. We need more human moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. Like I say, I'll come back to the idea that those human moments are, you know, we frame them through the story we tell ourselves. Everyone else is a character in our story, and so we're constantly looking at the world through that lens.
Yeah, and sometimes our characters are pretty hilarious or off the wall. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Is there someone that you think is really an incredible storyteller?
I look a lot at the kind of creative professions, so writers, movie makers, and I'm not one of those. I'm a storyteller in a business context. So I work with insurance companies and financial companies and other places where you wouldn't think there would be a lot of storytelling. I like novelists because I think novelists are the people that create stories from whole cloth. They're remixing a lot of ideas and a lot of tropes, but they're really great. So my one of my favorite books is The Gates of Fire by Stephen Pressfield, and I think that's a novel about the Spartan defense at Thermopylae when the hundreds of thousands of years ago when the Persians attacked, and it's the same setting as the movie 300, if you've seen that. But it's a brilliant novel, and it's told through the eyes of a slave that was captured after the battle, and the Persian king is fascinated about what is Spartan society like, and how did they how did 300 men come to hold this gate and hold a mighty army at bay. So yeah, I think novelists. I turn to those first. I read a lot of fiction, and I really admire them as storytellers.
Fantastic. Now, without giving too much away, what would you like to share with listeners about your book?
Yeah, I think that this is a book that's really, there are two central ideas. The first idea is it's never the best idea that wins. It's the best packaged idea. And if you're interested in figuring out how your idea can become better packaged, this is a book for you. The second theme of the book is ideas and story are like chicken and egg. You have an idea, but somehow you need to transport it. You need to bring it to other people. And so the first part of the book is all about the history of storytelling, the idea that this chicken and egg standing on the shoulders of giants, how ideas spread. It talks a little bit about some of the brain science. But the last part of the book is really putting it in context. I think most people that would think about a book about storytelling and business would think about brand. Mm-hmm. But to me, that's only one of six or more genres of storytelling. So the first for me is value storytelling. How do companies, how do organizations project value? How do you get across that line that people have in their head where they think, is it worth it? And so value storytelling is the first genre I talk about. Then I move into product storytelling, which for me is, product storytelling is like science fiction. You've got this new thing, and if you do it really badly, it sounds like rocket science to people, and they will reject it because they don't understand it. You can do it really well.
Yes.
It sounds like a future I can live into. So product storytelling. Then I move into brand storytelling, which is, for me, it's all about world building. And I think there are lessons. I think a lot of people that are in marketing and brand end up being the kind of brand police. It must be this color. It must be this font. But if you look at TV shows that have show Bibles, they're able to create stories within a series like, I don't know, NCIS or Star Trek or pick one. They have a show Bible that talks about what's the world we're trying to create.
Yes.
And they're able to be really creative inside of that. I think brand marketers can learn a thing or two from that. So brand storytelling. Then I move into sales storytelling, which is the kind of one-on-one art and science, I guess, of moving salespeople kind of closing the deal. Mm-hmm. How do they do that? A lot of that is moving from monologue to actual conversations. And then I move into leadership storytelling, and finally, which is shared context. How do I get people to follow what I'm doing? And then culture storytelling. How do I take what we're doing and make it bigger?
Yes. As you're sharing all these, I was thinking how for people who listen to radio podcasts and you suddenly hear a commercial, think about why that commercial grabbed you. And right now, within the world of voiceover, they always say, be conversational. It's not an announcery kind of sales pitch. Those are the most impactful ways of connecting with your audience.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think in if you look at a really good salesperson, they're doing two or three things really well. The first thing they do is they're really good at getting the person in front of them to tell their story, which means they're a really good listener and they're really good at pulling that out of people. Mm-hmm. Then the next thing is they obviously know their stuff. So they know their product. They know what it is they're trying to sell. But they don't know it in a monolithic way. They know it in a way where they can take pieces of it and say, this is how it fits. And that's the third thing they do, which is to fit your story and their product story together.
Yes. I love
that. That all happens in conversation.
Yeah. I love the listening part. I was taking a couple notes. I love the listening part because when people feel that you're listening, that makes a huge impact.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So if somebody listening wants to start using storytelling today, what's one simple thing they could do?
The simplest thing, actually you gave a clue to it earlier. The simplest thing you can do is to pay attention to what you pay attention to and then ask yourself the question, why? Mm-hmm. And what you'll find is somebody has done something, whether it's a piece of rhetoric, whether it's some kind of artifice or device that they've used, whether it's some... where they've personified a situation. They've done something that's made you sit up and pay attention, that's made you remember this. And if you can first figure out what you pay attention to and then ask the question why, that, I think, is the first step to getting better at storytelling.
Fantastic. And lastly, you are CEO and co-founder of Fast Forward. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, Fast Forward. So we're a small company that works with large companies, and we work in really two areas, leadership and storytelling. So for us, leadership is about the choices you make. Storytelling is how you amplify those choices. And we regularly work with companies to help them lead through change and lead through major transformation.
And if people want more information about you, where can they find you?
Sure. The book website is story-business.com. You can find me on LinkedIn, Gavin McMahon. You can also find Fast Forward, fastforward.com, FASSFORWARD.com.
Fantastic. Gavin, I've really enjoyed this conversation. Congratulations on your book.
Thanks, Janine. It's a pleasure.
Be well. Take care. Bye-bye. That was Gavin McMahon, author of Story Business, Why Stories Rule the World and How They Reinvent Your Business. If you want more information about the book, about Gavin, you can visit the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. His book is out now. And as he was sharing, there's so much great insight about brand storytelling, about sales storytelling, leadership storytelling, culture storytelling, something really for everyone. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. If you're not familiar with our station, you can visit kuci.org. You can also check out our socials, KUCI-FM. If you want to find out about being a guest, you can shoot me an email to Janine, J-A-N-E-A-N-E, at KUCI.org. Coming up at the bottom of the hour is Casey Wrights, and he is the president and CEO of the Segerstrom Center for the Arts. Really thrilled to have him on the show around 9:30. We'll take a little break, and then we will be back. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. To find out more about this talk show or other talk shows broadcasting on KUCI, log on to our website at kuci.org or check out the latest program guide.